Today's episode is brought to you by AOS Kitchens, the South's leading outdoor kitchen design and installation specialists.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Meet and Greet Barbecue podcast. It's another kind of special here where it's Owen and I talking together. And actually, we thought we'd come up with a name for these types of episodes because the more feedback we get, the more that apparently you guys like to listen to us, as we like to call it, chewing the fat together. So that's what we're going to call these episodes, when it's Owen and I just talking together, chewing the fat.
Chewing the fat.
Yeah. Like it?
No.
Oh, good. I'm glad I took so long coming up with that.
Hate it.
I think the first thing that we should talk about, really, because it has been a little
while.
It's a
bit grisly.
Yeah, grisly. Yeah, it's hard to get over and it gets stuck in your throat and your ears. I'd like to talk to you about kind of catching up with barbecue, because one of our most recent episodes, we talked about kind of the blues, and it's been a few months now, but the weather's kind of picked up a bit. We had the Six Nations, which I always think for UK barbecuers can be a bit of a catalyst for barbecuing. How have the last few months been?
Well, obviously, last time we were talking about that fatigue, I feel like I've become a fair weather barbecuer this year, mm-hmm. where it's just been so wet all the time. I've also bought a dog since the last time we recorded, and apologies about that. So, yeah, I feel like I've become a bit of a fair weather barbecuer. However, since the Easter, and over the last couple of weeks where it has started to get a bit warmer, I've kind of found a love for barbecue again. So I had a bit of a party a couple of weeks ago, and I cooked, you know, your classic sausages. I did wings, I did thighs, but I also did two huge racks of pork ribs, but I specifically asked the butcher to keep all the belly meat and stuff on as well. So I ended up getting like pulled belly meat as well as like on the rib, on the bone meat, which went down an absolute storm. So, and obviously today me and you are sat here in my back garden. We've got some beef ribs on the Weber smoking away. On the Blackstone, we've got two huge pork chops. Drinking a couple of beers, sun's out. We're going to make some short rib pizzas later. I'm back in. I found my spark.
I think it's been a bit of a funny start to the year. A lot of people we've been speaking to, and thank you for reaching out to us on Instagram as well, have all found the start of 2024 a bit difficult for getting out there and barbecuing for various different reasons. But I really do think with the weather kind of turning now, there's no problem being a fair weather barbecuer as long as you can still get out and enjoy it. I mean, I suppose we're lucky enough, hopefully, that from April to sort of October, we can be enjoying that fair weather and then try and carry it on afterwards. But I think we need to try and kind of get out of our heads that we have to be barbecuing all the time, and that can suck some of the joy out. And maybe that break is the best thing that we needed. I mean, the last day of the Six Nations, not that we'll talk about how the rugby went, because that was an abomination, but I had a load of friends over for a bit of a barbecue during the day. And I tried to pick stuff that I thought would be fairly simple to do. So I did a normal beef joint that I got from Tesco's. I stuck it on for maybe, I thought it was going to take 3 to 4 hours doing it low. And it was medium rare after 2.5. Took it off, let it rest for 1.5 hours. Beautiful piece of meat. Really good. Once that was off, I chucked on a whole chicken for us as well. 2.5 hours. Reached 76. Took it off, rested it. Again, they all went down a storm and everyone ranted and raved, but it doesn't have to be hard, particularly once you understand the grill you're using. And that's part of the enjoyment, is not just seeing what you get out of the back of it, but when you can see different people's reactions to it, you know, that can be the main part of the barbecuing experience. It's getting people around again, right? I'm sure that's what you kind of got.
Yeah, no, I really did. I thought whilst we're cooking something, you know, ASMR is a bit of a thing at the minute, so I'm just going to shut up and just
it's the sound of Owen's ego clicking cooking away on the Blackstone.
That is some lovely pork, thick pork chops.
Beautiful, beautiful sizzling sound there.
Maybe that's something new for the podcast. We can just not talk anymore and just do ASMR for about half an hour.
I wouldn't want to give people the satisfaction of not having to listen to us for a while, to be fair.
People that listen to us are obviously a gluttonous for punishment.
So, on that point of having people over when you're barbecuing and having not barbecued for a while, how did you find that extra pressure with people being there, kind of trying to host and barbecue and partake in a few beers as well? Because I know when we were setting up this cook, you found a few rogue chicken wings that had escaped down the side of the grill, as it were.
Yeah, that was mainly just the copious amounts of alcohol. So I took it in my stride. I lost a couple of chicken wings on the way, but, you know, God rest their souls. They took one for the team.
Yeah.
No pressure at all, really. Mainly it was just friends and a few family. Sorry, the other way around. Family and a few friends. And, it was all good. Again, just actually enjoyed it.
And with the menagerie of barbecues you've got, since you've kind of finding that love and passion again, are you finding that you're falling towards one or two certain types, or as and when? How's that coming across?
I mean, I'm using the Blackstone a lot.
Yeah.
Mainly because it's the closest to the indoors.
Yeah.
So laziness. However, within the last 2 weeks, I've used the Smoky Mountain, I've used the Traeger, I've used the Weber Kettle and the Blackstone. And obviously today we're using the Kettle, the Blackstone, and going to be using the Oni. No sort of preference going to either one. I'd ask you the same question, but I suppose it's the Kamado.
Yeah. Using the monolith, that's why I got it in the first place, is because of the versatility of it. And I've been more trying to think about what I'm going to pair with stuff. I was getting very much critical of what I was deciding to cook every weekend, thinking it has to be different, it has to be something different. What haven't I done? What haven't I tried? What am I trying to perfect? And rather than doing that, I'm thinking, right, I'm just going to decide what I want to cook, food-wise. And if I'm going to do anything interesting with it, I want to look at the different sides. Absolutely loving sauerkraut and how that cuts through bits and pieces. Been doing more with kind of like gherkins. I did almost like a dauphinoise potato type kind of dish, which I smoked to go with the chicken when I had people over, that I thought I'd cook twice the amount so I'd have more for the next day, and that completely went. Even to the point of, if you're doing things like mac and cheese, why not put some black pudding in there, or put some different barbecue sauces in there just to make it a little bit different. And also have some fun with trying different sauces. I mean, I absolutely loved what we did a few Christmases ago when we tried lots of different types of rubs on chicken wings. That can be a very satisfying and enjoying afternoon with friends. Just get 20, 30, 50, 60, 100 chicken wings, pick out 6, 7 different rubs, mix them all up, and off you go. And then drink and rank and enjoy, right? I think we need to get away of what am I doing differently, what's going to look sexy, and just get back to enjoying it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just over the last couple of weeks, I've been doing much more. Even I've coming back out here for breakfasts. So I did some, you know, sort of American fluffy style pancakes.
Oh, nice.
On Easter Monday this morning, although you weren't here, but did some breakfast tacos, some black pudding, bacon, eggs, avocados, sriracha sauce. Having a big moment with sriracha sauce at the, I absolutely love it. So much so that we've got two beef short ribs cooking right now. And rather than using mustard as the bind, you know, a bit of French cheese as usual, we've decided to go and try a bit of sriracha sauce. Mm-hmm. I've decided to go for a cheeseburger flavoured rub, which I've never tried before. It's Tubby Tom's, mm-hmm. Big Mac Dust. So interested to see. I got bought that for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I've not used it yet. And interested to see how a short rib with a cheeseburger flavour binded by sriracha is gonna taste.
Yeah, I'm still kind of counting down the days until my house move eventually happens and I can set up a new kind of barbecue area in the garden, and I'm probably going to make some sort of new barbecue purchase around that as well, which I'm still toying with what I'm going to go for. I'm very tempted by a Blackstone, mainly because I want the flat top. Although, you know, I've got planches, which I use, but I also think that my wife would probably use it more. We do pancakes every Sunday, and that just seems like an obvious, nice thing to do. But also, I want to almost get like a pantry running of just like different barbecue rubs and have everything set up. So I'm going out there more. To be fair, part of the reason that I think I've slowed down my barbecuing is I had packed everything away. I'd packed everything away ready for the move. And as things happen in the UK, which maybe some of our international listeners will find quite surprising, the moving process takes so long here. And we're currently in a chain of like 5 or 6 houses. So we were hoping that maybe by the end of this month, but it looks like it might be another 6 to 8 weeks. I'm in that go-between of, oh, I'm running out of charcoal. Do I bother buying more or do I wait? I'm just going to play it by ear, basically. But I'm really excited to start that new barbecuing chapter as well and seeing what I can do differently there. And I'm going to get a separate, my wife doesn't know yet, a separate barbecue fridge / freezer that I'm just going to put barbecue meat in.
I really need that. And I keep threatening to do it, but I just haven't bothered gotten around to it.
It just means that every Thursday, if I want to do a cook on Saturday, go in there, pick something, pick it out, let it defrost for 24 hours, and then dry brine it for another 24 hours, and off you go. And you don't have that pressure of thinking, right, what am I going to cook? Right, well, I need to buy that in advance. If I just have a freezer load of the stuff, I can go and grab it as I want. I want to make things as easy as possible for me to just go out there and do it, you know?
So our last episode, we spoke to Corbin from Blackstone, which was really interesting, very nice guy. One of the things I mistakenly sort of joked about him was around cooking pasta.
Yeah.
At first, I thought he actually meant that he was cooking pasta on the griddle, and subsequently it means that he was boiling the water. So I cooked a carbonara on the Blackstone. Mm-hmm. So I had the garlic and the bacon and all that kind of stuff cooking, and I thought, right, I will try to boil the water on the pasta, boil the water on the Blackstone using a normal metal saucepan. I have to say, it just didn't work for me. It took such a long time to boil the water. In the end, the bacon and everything was cooked way before, even though the water was on first, that I ended up moving the pan onto a gas barbecue just to speed the process up. What I also did, just for a laugh, is because we made that kind of joke around, well, obviously you don't cook dry pasta on the actual griddle, I cooked some dry pasta on the griddle
just to see what would happen.
Just to see what happened. It went very sort of bubbly and crispy.
Yeah.
But still very, very much raw.
So you just burnt pasta for
I
fun
essentially
of
just burnt a stick
well,
of I burnt a stick of spaghetti in the name of science.
Well, I wouldn't some say science. Yeah.
I wouldn't say it was burnt. It was golden brown, but very, very hard.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't recommend it.
So you made very thin chopsticks, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good,
pretty
good,
much.
Good.
But again, for me, I won't be using the Blackstone to boil water.
For me, I think that would more be the case that I'd use it for that if I'd taken the Blackstone somewhere as a portable barbecue and I had no other means of doing it personally. I think it's the fact that it can do that. Also, I imagine you'd want a very small pan, really, to try and speed up that boiling process.
But potentially, but I had a pan of water for enough for 4 people to feed a family.
Yeah.
Obviously, otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah.
But anyway, just didn't quite work. And I had 3 very hungry people saying, where's our dinner? So I had to use other means possible boil that water.
So what happens, right? It's all a learning process and we don't learn without trying, right?
No.
If you've been looking or thinking about an outdoor kitchen, then look no further than AOS Outdoor Kitchens.
They are the South's leading outdoor kitchen design and installation specialists.
Their extensive showroom is based just outside Bournemouth on the Dorset-Hampshire border, and as well as numerous in-store displays, also features a live outdoor kitchen where they cook every week on Kamado grills, pizza ovens, and all filmed and shown on YouTube.
They offer a wealth of knowledge on how to transform your patio into the most incredible outdoor dining area, with styles and options to suit every budget. And you can guarantee they will be able to create something perfectly suited to you and your home.
They stock and supply everything that you're going to need for outdoor cooking, including barbecues, Kamado ovens, pizza ovens, outdoor fridges, and every accessory that you would need to become the ultimate outdoor chef.
So if you want to make yourself the envy of your friends and neighbours, get in touch with them today to arrange a consultation and take the first step in transforming your back garden into the most incredible entertainment space.
Visit aoskitchens.co.uk.
Oh, have you had any other barbecue fails recently, apart from drunk barbecuing? Although we can go into drunk barbecuing as a little barbecue fail segment if you want.
I wouldn't say it was a fail. It was, I tell you what, okay, it is a fail, but it's not a cooking fail, it's just a failing to plan. So where I've not cooked that much barbecue, mm-hmm. And again, out of pure laziness, I just assumed that I had loads of charcoal.
Yeah.
For my 15 guests or whatever that was coming over last weekend. And because I was doing huge racks of ribs, I just assumed that I had batteries in my meter. The day of the barbecue comes, get the Weber Smoky Mountain going, go to turn on the meter block, no battery. Problem with that is that you have to, for the actual individual thermometers, the block charges the thermometers. Mm-hmm. So when I changed the batteries, even though the block would work, the thermometers, the actual sticks wouldn't work because they needed to be charged. I also had the other problem where I just had enough charcoal to get the Smoky Mountain going.
Yeah.
The shops weren't open yet. So I had to just basically start the ribs knowing that there was probably not going to be enough charcoal to finish it, and had to get a family member to go, because I was doing loads of other prep work, because I made spash burgers and all sorts, to go to the shops and try and get some charcoal. I wanted a specific charcoal that 99.9% of the time was in the garden centre, 150 yards up the road. Of course, they ran out.
Yeah.
So he had to pick up some second grade charcoal, which we're using the rest of it today, and it's been a bit of a nightmare to get going. So long and short of it is, I didn't follow the 6 P's.
You got
proper planning
up.
Prevents piss poor performance.
Well done.
There we are.
Sounds like you're taking the P with that. Mine was a purchase mistake, to be fair.
What, you bought a Kamado?
No. No, what I did was I was buying, I can never remember the brand, but it's the like posh pizza flour, red bag, Italian brand, 00 flour. And I thought, well, I want to buy some in bulk. And I was looking at different options. I was like, oh, I really want like a 2 kilo bag. There doesn't seem to be any in stock. Oh, wait, hang on. No, definitely none in stock. Oh, the other bags are 500 grams. Like, I'll just buy 4 of them. Doing 2 or 3 other things, looking after the children. I was like, right, put the order for 4 in, order. Waited a week, didn't show up. I was like, this is Amazon Prime, it should be the next day, I don't understand. 2 days later, 4 2-kilogram bags of flour turned up. I was like, oh no, so big that they won't even go on the shelves in the kitchen. God. So I was like, right, if I do like a batch of those now, at least then I can fold that one bag down so it'll go in, and the rest I'll just have to try and keep in the garage in as drier place as possible.
I'll take a day off, yeah.
Yeah, well, get some nice flour, sort that out for you.
In it dough.
Oh, God. That, and I think I've possibly mentioned it before, but I'm really considering, once I've moved, going from the wood burner attachment on my rock box to gas, just partially because of ease. Like, it is fun playing with like the fire, but because of the way that the actual wood burner attachment works, you constantly have to be feeding it like tiny bits of wood. You can't get big bits of wood in there, right? And It's if I'm cooking 6, 7, 8 pizzas for people as part of a party, I can't talk to anyone. It's so much management.
Do you know what? Funny you should say that. As much as I love the Oni, as I'm sure we've talked about on the podcast, but Joe and Marco from Della Vita, we had about 6, 7 months of having a Della Vita last year, shared between us, and we kind of moved it between houses. But you can get much larger pieces of wood in there. You don't burn as much wood. It lasts longer. Therefore, cooking en masse is much easier in the Della Vita. And I agree with you that I almost end up using just all you can fit in the Oni is kindling, right?
Yeah.
It burns through so quickly. Even if you put a couple of bits of charcoal in there, I've found that you can get a semi-decent log in something like a Della Vita.
Trust you to be testing semis.
But it will burn longer, keep the heat, etc. So
that's an more enjoyable cooking experience for me as well. Not constantly running around.
I'm missing it. I am missing it. And my wife had sort of said this, sort of said the same as well. She played with the Della Vita a bit, and
that's because you've been indoor more, and she's had to spend more time with you. And she's like, "Oh, can we get something that go back outside?
I know.
Be away a bit more." Yeah, it's understandable to be fair.
So, I want to see what your thoughts are. So, I think I mentioned to you last time, I succumbed to pressure from the family to buy an air fryer.
Yeah.
And annoyingly have absolutely loved using it. It's so convenient, etc.
Yeah.
However, I do feel like I'm cheating on barbecue, obviously, when I use it. So, I know a lot of people have started using the Ninja wood fire, the Ninja wood fire, you know, the little smoky kind of grill.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts? I got asked the other day by a family member sort of saying, oh, are you going to buy one?
My thoughts on it are, if I was given one by someone, I'm sure I'd love it. I wouldn't invest in it myself. Personally, I think it's arguably more so than the Traeger. I think it maybe takes away a bit of the fun and magic.
But what about the Traeger Ranger?
Well, yeah, there is that as well. And yes, I mean, they do, from memory, the wood fire, Ninja wood fire has a lot more different options that you can do with it as well. But I just, I'm interested watching people cook with it. I personally am not interested cooking on it. It's not tickled me at all. And I think that's just because I enjoy burning things and setting fire to stuff, you know? That's just me personally. It doesn't make it wrong for anyone else.
No. You did have that stint in juvie for it.
Yeah, you know. What else are you going to do in Wales?
Daniel Arson Hewlett.
Yeah. Just burning down forests, one tree at a time. But yeah, I just...
And that hospital.
And yeah, well, patients shouldn't have been in bed, should they? Like I said, if it was bought for me, like as a gift from someone, I think that I would enjoy it and I'd probably use it a lot.
I'm not going to buy it.
No.
I'm not going to buy it for you.
No. Are you going to buy it for yourself, though?
No, I'm not. No, I don't think I will.
Do you have another barbecue on the horizon?
It seems that if I've... Obviously, because it's pellets, right?
Yeah.
I've got the Traeger.
Yeah.
I don't need to...
What's the point?
I mean, I don't need to buy all of what I've got. I appreciate that. To be honest, actually, again, if I was going to buy anything else, it's either going to be a nice offset smoker, but one that you invest a decent amount in, so it doesn't have a lot of kind of leakage, heat leakage, or a fire cage. But I mean, where I've not been barbecuing as much, I just haven't been able to justify another purchase, really. So I don't think in 2024 I'll probably invest in another one at all.
So I'm tempted by a Blackstone, but also
I think you should buy a Blackstone. I think
I took the whole family to Alton's Barbecue World Open Day or opening launch night this year. And my wife absolutely loved and spent the most time looking at the domes and saying that,
the Gosney?
Yeah, I really wish that we'd have done that rather than maybe the Rock Box in the first place. and just that it looks more aesthetic, you can do more with it. So I don't know if I'm going to get the opportunity to look at that at some point. But like I said, once I've moved, I want to spend a lot more time with the Rockbox as well. Because to be fair, I have put a lot of pizzas through it. You know, I reckon that I'm verging on maybe 80 to 90 pizzas that I've put through it, which isn't a small amount considering that we're a family of four. But that family of four includes a 7-year-old and a 17-month-old, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see if we did that. I think it'd be a question of whether I sold my Rockbox or whether I kept it for taking away when we went to places like Centre Parks or other holidays, you know, because that's the good thing about that. It's so much more transportable, you know?
Yeah, so again, weirdly, obviously our wives have similar tastes that Laura's like, if you're going to get anything else, I want you to get a... I quite like the...
The domes.
The domes, yeah. Gosney domes. But for me... I think I'd just go for a De La Vita.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what we know about the De La Vita.
Yeah, cooked on it a lot, got the experience of it, it makes sense. Makes perfect sense. I'm more thinking just from a, yeah, I'll be allowed to buy one of them point of view.
Yeah.
I'm a lot more whipped than you are, maybe. Do you know, on that point, there's something else that I wanted to talk about today. For these Chewing the Fat episodes, and I'm not going to promise you how many we're going to do or how often, but Owen and I have enjoyed sitting down and just talking to each other in this sort of way, as long as there's no pressure on us to do it every single week, as it were. We'd like to hear from you. Please do kind of reach out to us. We do have a chat with a lot of people on Instagram. It's either Owen or myself, or if you're really lucky, it'll be both of us answering you at the same time and confusing the hell out of you. But we will talk to you if you message directly on Instagram, either our personal pages or the Meet and Greet Barbecue Podcast page. But Mitch Bruce actually wrote out to us and gave us a black pudding recipe that was very kind of them that we wanted to try. And on that point, I was thinking that I really want to be doing more what I would call, for want of a better word, homegrown barbecuing. And the example that I would use that I want to talk to you about...
What do you mean by homegrown barbecuing?
Like curing your own bacon
and
then cooking with it, or making your own black pudding, or smoking your own cheese. And my dad has bought me one of the... little kind of coal dust burners that you can get.
Smoke generator.
Yeah, smoke generator. So I can do cold smoking in my Kamado, which I'm going to do once I've moved. But I want to talk to you more about that because obviously you've got a cold smoker and you've done things like your own bacon, your own cheese. How have you enjoyed those, that experience? Because it's different.
So I haven't done it for quite some time, but I love smoking cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I do need to get back into doing curing my own bacon.
Yeah.
I want to get into sausage making. I think I've said this before. I got given what I think is a sausage making, or at least a sausage grinder. But
not happy with the sausage you're playing with yourself either. You need something else to have a go on.
Apologies for him. I just haven't taken it out of the box. But
it's been a while, has it?
It's been a while since I've looked at that sausage. So I've got, I don't know if I told you this, but it's absolutely disgusting that I've got a, it's like a lean-to down the side of my house.
Yeah.
But it's not a lean-to as in it's been properly built. It's got shingle, you know, a proper roof and stuff on it down the side of my house. So the previous owners used to hang their bikes and all that kind of stuff. So there was loads of like wood kind of going across the width of it.
Yeah.
I'm not a biker, whatever. So I put my Keter kind of prep station, I put the cold smoker down there. And because it was out of the direct sunlight, it was quite a good place to cold smoke. Because I had a few instances last year where during the summer, I was using the aluminium Pro-Q smoking cabinet and the heat was melting the cheese because of the, you know, the it was 20, 30 degrees or whatever it was, and aluminium, it was... Anyway, so I moved it down the side out of the way of the sunlight. Of course, left it over there over winter. A pigeon has nested in there and literally shit all over it. Like, completely covered the smoker from top to tail in bird shit. It is, and the Keter, it's like, I've had to like get a jet wash out and almost been like throwing up whilst like cleaning it up.
God.
So I have not done any cold smoking for a while. I almost need to forget that that's happened probably before I cold smoke again.
Or get very drunk before you do it again.
Bloody pigeons.
All I'm hearing is that if you've got an area outside with lots of crossbeams you can hang stuff from, butchery?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's got to be hygienic as hell, like, you know.
The pigeons will shit on it, though.
Yeah, just hanging carcasses outside, just in the elements for, like, 28 days or whatever.
Yeah. However, going back to the actual point, I do think cold smoking, there is something very satisfying about curing your own bacon.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a number of different dry rubs. I want to get into wet rubs. I'd love to do like a beer sort of style cured bacon.
So I'm just excited about you wet rubbing your sausage.
Yeah, thank you.
I love that bacon you made. So quite a while back, must be over a year ago now, I think, since you gave me that. But you did like a what you called like a plain dry run of some bacon.
Yep.
That you gave me, and you also gave me some rosemary bacon. I love both of them. I thought they were both great. And I like the fact that you can cut different thicknesses, you can play more with them, and the quality felt very different as well compared to what you're used to in like a supermarket, you know?
Yeah, like most things, right? If you can home make them, more often than not, they're going to be better because you know what you're putting in them and all that kind of stuff. It's just time, more so than anything. But what I found from a smoking cheese point of view, I'm sure people are going to say, what the hell are you doing? I literally just go to the supermarket and buy the cheapest piece of cheddar cheese and then smoke it. Because by the time you finish smoking it and putting all the flavour that you want in it, whether it's a whiskey, whiskey smoke or it's a oak smoke or cherry or whatever, you can't tell that it's cheap cheese.
Yeah.
You know. So, for me, and obviously it keeps the cost down.
I also think that, you know, if you went out and bought something like a Black Bomber and you took it out of the truckle setup and everything, if you got it wrong, you'd be devastated that you bought this great, beautiful piece of cheese. Whereas if you're doing it with cheaper cheese, it feels like less of a risk element there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I mean, my daughter's going through cheese phase at the moment at 7 going on 40. I bet if she could have a bottle of red wine to go with it, she would. But her favourite cheese at the moment, she absolutely loves Comté cheese. And she absolutely loves Parmesan as well. To the point that if I'm going to be like grating any for if I'm doing carbonara or if we're doing having a bolognese and grating some, she will cut chunks of Parmesan off and just eat it as chunks walking around the house. And sometimes we just ask for bits of Parmesan and ham for dinner, right? So I want to be encouraging that more, but it's just a weird flavour for like a 7-year-old to be into, right?
Yeah. We say that my daughter's massive into cured meats, cured meat and cheese.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
Finer things in life, right?
Yeah. Start them young.
I'd much prefer that than nuggets, though. And that's the other thing that I think is great about barbecuing. Similar to if you grow your own fruit and veg, right? The children understand where the meat comes from, or if you're growing fruit and veg, where it actually comes from, what goes into the effort. They can see it, they can be part of it, and they're more likely to try the stuff if they're involved in the cooking process too. So yeah, anything else that you'd like us to be talking about, please do write in and we can discuss it on our next Chewing the Fat episode, as it were.
Name not agreed.
Well, not agreed but loved, and I'm the one who's editing it, so we can just disagree on the name and I'll edit it back in afterwards for all future episodes. But yeah, is there anything else that you wanted to discuss at this point, Owen?
No, I don't think so. I think, it was good to catch up. Let's eat some food.
Yeah, so we're going to go away and eat, and we'll try and put together a few more of these types of episodes for you, and hopefully in the upcoming few months we can get back to more normal scheduling, returning to normal. But until I've moved, that's a bit of a problem. And on that note, we'll let the dog get into the beers. That's good speaking to you. Until next time,
keep on grilling. So that's it for another episode of the Meet and Greet Barbecue Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. As ever, we'd love to hear from you, so please do get in touch through our socials at Meet and Greet Barbecue Podcast or Meet and Greet Barbecue Podcast at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much again. And we'll, as Dan's already mentioned, we'll get back to our usual schedule of guests as soon as possible. And we'll see you again soon. Keep on grilling.
Today's episode of the Meet and Greet Barbecue Podcast is brought to you by AOS Outdoor Kitchens. They are the South's leading outdoor kitchen design and installation specialists.